Ramayana Ayodhya Kanda Part 12. The next morning, adorned with matted hair and tree bark dress, Bharata requested Guha to assist him in crossing the Ganga, and thereafter the entire army of men and horses was taken across on boats while elephants swam the river. After safely reaching the other side, Bharata disembarked and with Guha's guidance proceeded to the ashram of Bharadwaj. When Bharata drew near the great Rishi's hermitage, he left his army waiting at a distance of 2 miles and proceeded on foot with Vasistha and Shatrughna. When Bharadwaj saw Vasistha enter his ashram, he quickly rose to greet him. He then proceeded to inquire about the welfare of Ayodhya, wanting to know Bharata's true intentions. O Prince, please tell me what brings you to the forest, for I pray that you have not come with any intention of harming Ram. Bharata was extremely hurt by the Rishi's words. With tears in his eyes, he replied, Oh, it is indeed painful to see how people doubt my intentions. Please know that I have come to the forest only to try to convince Ram to return to Ayodhya so that he can rule the kingdom. O foremost of sages, please be gracious to me and show me where Ram is staying. O Prince, I already knew your true mentality by dint of my yogic power. I only tested you as a formality. Your elder brother Ram is residing at Chitrakuta Mountain. So now, please stay here for the night, and you can resume your journey tomorrow. Bharata accepted Bharadwaja's hospitality, and then the Rishi requested him to call for his entire army, wishing to entertain them as well. After the soldiers arrived at his ashram, Bharadwaj invoked Vishvakarma and many other demigods, headed by Indra, Yamaraj, Varuna, and Kubera, requesting them to supply all the necessary objects for a first-class reception for his guests. Immediately thereafter, fragrant breezes began to blow, and as fragrant flowers showered down from the heavens, celestial drums were sounded, accompanied by the singing of Gandharvas and the dancing of Apsaras. And by Vishvakarma's arrangement, the entire area within a 40-mile radius became instantly carpeted with lush parks full of fruit and flower-bearing trees. Quite miraculously, four-room mansions and stables became manifested, as well as a royal palace complete with every imaginable comfort, furniture, food, clothing, and article of enjoyment. Bharata entered the magnificent palace, accompanied by his priests and ministers. As he approached the royal throne, he meditated upon Ram as if he were seated there. Thinking in this way, Bharata circumambulated the throne and then offered obeisances. He then picked up a chamara and sat in the seat intended for the chief minister as everyone else took their respective places. Meanwhile, by utilizing his mystic power, Bharadwaj created a river of sweet rice that flowed throughout his ashram. Lord Brahma and Kuvera each sent 20,000 women whose embrace could cause a man to appear as if seized by a fit of madness. The chiefs of the Gandharvas came to sing of Ram's glories for Bharata, and celestial trees were summoned by Bharadwaj to accompany them on various musical instruments. And while Bharata was thus being entertained, the soldiers were hardly neglected. Celestial girls sang to them with sweet voices, urging them to drink wine and eat the sweet rice. 7 or 8 girls were engaged in rubbing oil over each man's body and then began bathing them with water. Other girls massaged the warriors' feet while giving them wine in a secluded place. Why, even the horses were fed grains dipped in honey. And when the men thus became intoxicated, they exclaimed, "Oh, this is heaven! Now we no longer want to continue our journey to the forest, or even return to Ayodhya." In this way, the soldiers became satiated with all manner of enjoyment in the company of the celestial damsels. Indeed, thousands of soldiers were seen running here and there, singing, laughing, and dancing. Everyone was so amazed by the entertainment that it appeared to them as if they were enjoying a delightful dream. But the night seemed to pass away swiftly. And with the appearance of dawn, the Gandharvas, Apsaras, and celestial trees took their leave from Bharadwaj and returned to their respective abodes. Bharata then took his mothers and approached Bharadwaj, asking him for directions to Chitrakuta. Bharadwaj saw that one woman of the party appeared emaciated out of grief. Just then, another woman clasped his feet to offer respects, while a third stood with her head hung in shame. Seeing Bharadwaj's concern, Bharata explained, "This is Kaushalya, the senior widow of my father. This is Sumitra, the mother of Lakshman and Shatrughna. And this other woman, who is vulgar, cruel, conceited, and sinful, is Kaikeyi. Being the cause of Ram's exile, she is the cause of all of our present miseries. O Bharat, you should not consider your mother to be actually guilty, for there is a higher purpose behind Ram's banishment to the forest. Thus, it is meant for the welfare and happiness of all living entities." Thereafter, Bharata circumambulated Rishi Bharadwaj and commanded his army to depart. As the regiments of infantry, horses, chariots, and elephants marched forward, all the forest animals fled out of fear. Finally, when Chitrakuta Mountain was in view, Bharata commanded his sentries to look for Ram's cottage. Some of the soldiers then saw a column of smoke rising in the distance and excitedly informed Bharata. After ordering the army to set up camp, Bharata approached the cottage of Ram on foot along with Vasistha, Sumantra, and several others.